Welcome back, listeners, to the Air Force Judge Advocate General School podcast. I'm Major Alexa Pritchett, and today we're continuing our focus on professional military education with a look at Squadron Officer School, or SOS, from the student perspective. SOS is a critical milestone in an Air Force officer's development designed to prepare captains to lead in complex, joint, and contested environments. Today, we're shifting to the experience of a recent SOS graduate, specifically a JAG, who completed the course under the new redesigned curriculum. By the end of this episode, our goal is to give you a clear picture of what SOS looks like, what JAGs can expect, and how the experience shapes officers as they return to the field. Joining us today is Captain Joseph Ludmere, a recent SOS student, to tell us about his experience at SOS. Captain Ludmere, can you please introduce yourself and tell us about your background in the JAG Corps?
Absolutely. So I'm Captain Joseph Ludmere. I joined the JAG Corps in January of 2022. I commissioned directly after law school. And my first assignment was at Joint Base Pearl Harbor, Hickam. So I was very lucky, got to go to Hawaii for a couple years as an assistant staff judge advocate. And then in July of 2024, I PCS'd and went to new assignment here at Barksdale Air Force Base, Louisiana, where I have been the Area Defense Counsel. And actually, that's when I went to Squadron Officer School just several months back in July to September of 2025.
So Captain Ludmere, before you had attended SOS, were you aware of the recent changes to the program?
Yes and no. So I definitely had heard murmurs that the curriculum was being redesigned. But as you probably know, you hear telephone games of what one person tells you, what one person tells you, what one person tells you. So I'd heard that they were maybe redesigning it, whether that those redesigns to the curriculum were going to happen when I was there or not. We weren't even sure at that point until we really got there and they informed us, yep, there's new curriculum. Get ready because it's going to look very different from what others have experienced.
So let's kind of shift our conversation to when you arrived at SOS. What stood out to you most during your first few days there?
Absolutely. They had emphasized at the beginning, in our first all-call, so to speak, that they were going to emphasize a lot more interactive wargaming exercise type time, or rather than classroom instruction. And I was like, okay, you're talking the talk, but are you going to walk the walk? And I actually remember the first day, maybe within the first few hours, our instructors said, you're going to go meet outside. You're going to meet this little like, grassy area. And they gave us some very, very, it was almost like kind of like an escape room challenge. They gave us some very basic instructions. And then we had to do kind of a 5K around Maxwell Air Force Base while having to solve clues and solve puzzles as a team. And I thought that that was really indicative. I remember standing out and thinking to myself, oh, this is actually going to look a lot different than just kind of the numerous hours of sitting in a lecture classroom, kind of PowerPoint by death, so to speak, is what you hear a lot of the time. So that definitely stood out of they were actually implementing changes to make it far more interactive and hands-on, I would say.
You just mentioned that it was very different than prior trainings or professional military education that you've attended. Did you have to adjust your mindset or your approach to completing SOS versus, a different type of PME that you've done in the past?
Absolutely. No, I think that's a great question. I think in past PMEs, especially ones that are JAG focused, right, our learning takes place pretty exclusively within the classroom. Sure, we have mock trials, but it's very, very classroom oriented. And in prior PMEs, it was a lot about studying, reading, memorizing information, I would say, in many ways. What's very different and the mindset and approach I had to kind of adjust very rapidly was this isn't going to be one of those courses where you just read a book, try to memorize all the concepts, and then get the best grade you can possible. You as a JAG, I think there were two big dimensions that I had to focus on. One, I had to focus on a lot of folks who I was with have incredible experience within their own career fields, but likely have never really dealt, at least within the job setting, in working with a JAG or utilizing a JAG's advice. And so that kind of brings to the second portion, which is my approach had to rapidly shift to how can I entering this space with my teammates, with my flight, use my experience, use the knowledge I have to bolster their ability to accomplish the mission. And that was really the biggest mindset is you had to find your place rather than I think in prior PME, either it was more obvious, or is a lot more just academic? So JAGs, just by virtue of having gone to law school and gone through 7-8 years of schooling, naturally know how to take tests, for example. This was very different. You had to figure out how to help your team.
I appreciate that. Kind of going off of that and the team environment, what did a typical day at SOS look like for you?
I would say there's kind of a divided answer there. The first couple of weeks was a little bit more classroom instruction and learning, but it was learning about, I thought, very real world and applicable concepts that we then later used for wargaming in the second half of the course. So first half of the course, we would have some hours of a lot of learning, for example, about joint structure. So what it looks like to work in a combatant command, for example, and how that differs from the Air Force structure within our major commands, which directorate, you know, encompasses which type of career field for each of those within them. So you really got to learn both your place within the larger Air Force and even broader COCOM structure, and where others fell in. We would also have a couple hours dedicated to, I remember, we essentially would have almost like show and tells of your careers. So folks would be doing hour-long presentations to explain their career and how it impacted the mission. And then after those first couple weeks, then you got into wargaming exercises. And the wargaming took place in a variety of ways. Some of it would be wargame-based board games, kind of think like Risk, where you would work with your team to understand how to appropriately strategize. A lot of them would be what could have been real-world exercises, preparing for sorties or deployments, for example, and how your different career fields interact. So some hours of classroom time, but even in those classroom time hours, there's a lot of discussion, a lot of very student-led learning, I would say, there.
Let's talk about part one. You mentioned kind of learning the foundational concepts to working in a joint environment. What did you find personally most challenging about that? Just given the virtue of our position as JAGs, we don't necessarily always have exposure to those sorts of environments early on in our careers.
Absolutely. I definitely at the beginning, it was challenging because being very realistic, right? Most JAGs who are going to SOS have done, you know, let's say somewhere between 3 and 5 years and have worked likely at a legal office and then maybe done a second legal office, maybe been an ABC, maybe been a VC. And none of those jobs really function within either the joint structure or even the Air Force MAGCOM structure, because we kind of work in our own, I don't even know how to put it. I guess the best word is kind of JAG office, right? But we don't have like an A1, A2, A3, A4, A5, A6 in our JAG office. We just kind of have different specialties. So it definitely took time to understand, but I think it was vital because then later on, especially even in and out of the job, right, as a JAG in a legal office, you might be advising commanders or working in an exercise that involves the entire wing or MAGCOM. And when someone tells you, hey, you got to go talk to someone from Intel, instead of being a deer in the headlights, you know to yourself, okay, I know where in the MAGCOM I can go to find someone in Intel. I know which directorate, so to speak, I can find that person in. So definitely challenging at first, but you realize later on, you kind of have an aha moment of, wow, there's so many pieces of this information that are going to help me when figuring out how to broadly advise commanders at all levels within the Air Force.
Shifting to, you had mentioned wargaming is a big part of the latter half of SOS. Can you talk a little bit about learning that and assuming that was a little, probably your first exposure to wargaming in your career?
The wargaming at SOS involved, it was a lot of real world, you have to make decisions in the moment and accept risk in some way working with your team, right? And I'll kind of break that down a little bit. A lot of the wargaming would look like you had a prompt, you had some very, very broad generalized instructions on what the task was or objective was at the very, very strategic level, right? We talk about the strategic level. Here, I know we're talking more now, you have to implement it at the tactical or operational level, certainly going down. When we would war game, you actually would get far less specific instruction than you maybe expect. And you have to accomplish this very broad objective. Let's say, you know, it's collecting munitions, for example, you're assuming that role within a war game. But how you get those munitions, who you talk to get those munitions, where you go to get those munitions, the timeline for it, are all either up in the air or information that you have to go seek out. So one of the things I think that's very interesting from a JAG perspective is two pieces there. One, you have to figure out on your own where to go and how to solicit that information and get the resources you need to accomplish the task at hand, which for JAG sometimes is not the most common because sometimes, you know, we have our MCMs right in front of us, or we have a lot of other folks to just ask. And then the second portion there is for JAGs, it's not going to be obvious, even at Squadron Officer School or in Wargaming, where a JAG fits in and where advice fits in, for example. Right. So you may detect an issue that even the instructors hadn't thought about, but you as a JAG in your own experience recognized, oh, yeah, I remember there's a law or an ethics rule about that. This is where I jump in and explain and advise. But no one's going to prompt you or tell you to do that. Right. So the Wargaming was a lot of very, I think, organic. How does each career field work together to accomplish the mission without a very structured, scripted, oh, of course, the solution is do step one, do step two, do step three. You know, and we debriefed that a lot within our flights every time we had this Wargaming.
You've mentioned your flight a little bit. For those listening at SOS, you are put into a flight. And typically for JAGs, you're the only JAG inside of that flight among many other career fields. So Captain Ledmere, can you talk about what it was like working with officers from other career fields and how that shaped your experience over the 5 weeks?
The two words I would use to describe it are refreshing and humbling. When you're the only JAG, you can go in kind of with two mindsets. And I think one is clearly the better mindset, right? You can go in and say to yourself, you know, I'm this lawyer. I went to 3 years of law school. I know this information like the back of my hand, or this doesn't apply to me. I'm going to go work, you know, in some sort of sector of the JAG Corps where maybe I'm not working with a lot of other career fields on a day-to-day basis. Or, and I think this is the far better approach, you can go in and say, I'm going to get something very meaningful out of this. And I'm going to learn the other career fields and actually learn what they do, what the different type of aircrafts are, what contracting does on a day-to-day basis. So, you know, at first, I'll be honest, it was a little bit intimidating. We had a fighter pilot instructor within our flight who was wonderful. We had several other pilots, Green Jolly, which is like a rescue helicopter that operates partially out of Japan, or some of them are based in Japan. And you are in awe of the work they do and the day-to-day of what they do, right? But then you have to remind yourself, okay, they've never met a JAG, right? They don't really consult with JAGs very often. You have to explain what you do and how you benefit the mission as well. And I'll be honest, I had an amazing flight. And I think part of it is that we mutually and deeply understood over the weeks as we got to learn our jobs, our personality styles, the way our work operated, how our work could sync up. And you know, by the end, it was pretty cool because in our final couple Wargaming exercises, there were a couple hypotheticals I remember about, you know, we were doing like Wargaming exercises out in the Pacific. And there was an issue where an airman, or a hypothetical airman, I should be clear, got in trouble, like drank underage alcohol. And it was very nice because some of my flightmates immediately kind of came to me and asked, you know, oh, I know what you've done. I know what you do is an area defense counsel you did prior. How would this operate? How would this look? How would this person's like punishment work? What are the options to get them back stateside to face that punishment? And so intimidating at first, if you go in with the right mindset, you come out knowing so much more both about other career fields and the Air Force at large. And I think if you do it right, your other flight mates will really, really develop an understanding and I think a respect of how JAGs can actually improve their ability to accomplish the mission as well.
Thank you for that. You know, I recognize that we've talked a lot about the academic environment and what that looks like for a team and how you can be successful. But I want to shift the focus a little bit to the physical element of SOS, to include being a part of a team or a flight with that. Captain Ledmere, can you talk a little bit about kind of the physical challenges that you were presented at SOS and how a JAG can best prepare for those?
Yes, absolutely. So it was pretty physically demanding, I would say. We did a 5K off the bat as part of kind of a team challenge where we ran around Maxwell Air Force Base accomplishing different tasks. We would be doing PT every morning as a flight, frequently with other flight members leading the PT, upper body workout, lower body workout. By the end of it, and kind of the ultimate goal was in our final sort of Wargaming challenge, which involved running around base to accomplish different tasks for a hypothetical deployed squadron, we actually ended up doing a 10K. So you're going to be doing a lot of cardio. I would definitely come in having, hopefully you're already on this track, but having regularly ran, regularly doing cardio, regularly working out. You also had an obstacle course and several team building obstacle courses that required upper body strength. So the more you can prepare, I think honestly, the more you just help your flight out. Because frequently the way our success was determined at SOS was your team score, your flight score, whether it was the lowest time in running, for example, or the ability to accomplish obstacles that really required, you know, lifting barrels, for example, or pulling heavy items from one side to another, balancing. So one of the changes they had explained in Squadron Officer School was that you had to be physically truly fit and that we were going to be doing PT every day, both separately from the course, but also integrated within the course as well. And I think that came very much true.
How did you feel about the integration of PT, which, you know, this is a new initiative from the Secretary of War in general. So how did you feel that helped your experience in a professional military education environment?
I loved it, honestly, especially for JAGS, where most of our days is spent either in meetings or behind a computer. It felt really good to get out and get regular exercise within that integrated environment that we talked about, right? I remember even at one point I was able to lead a PT workout with our flight. We did some cardio, and it was very, I think, motivating, right? To see your whole group and team doing the same workout with you and you being the one to lead it. So it was refreshing, honestly, is the best answer I can give you there.
What would you say to a JAG who maybe isn't necessarily as comfortable or confident in their physical abilities heading to SOS, knowing that they're going to have to really engage in those kind of activities?
Yeah, and I want to be very clear. I am not, you know, the person who gets 100 on every single PT test ever. I think the attitude you have to go into is obviously prepare and keep your PT up, but also understand that the core principle there is that you are a flight and a team. And we really did have a no man left behind attitude, whether it was with running PT or obstacle courses. Everyone's going to have their weaknesses. So don't be afraid or don't feel like you have to go in there saying, I have to prove that I'm the strongest person or that I can run the fastest mile of anyone. I actually think that attitude will backfire and potentially, you know, not allow you to get the support maybe you need or you didn't even know you needed from your team. So the idea is, are you putting the effort in? And I think that's what really matters. And when you can show you're putting that effort in, the results will naturally follow and your team will be there to behind at SOS to support you.
So I want to take a few steps back and kind of look holistically at the value that JAGS get out of SOS. Can you talk a little bit about how this course has changed your view as an officer in the United States Air Force?
It's changed a couple ways. I'll start one with my specific job as an ADC and then talk a little bit about more broadly. So as an ADC, right, we get, and many of you who are going to be ADCs or who are ADCs or victims councils too, you get hundreds of clients who walk through your door. And they all come with often years, if not decades of military experience with a squadron, you know, they're attached to. And frequently we just see those letters, right? OSS or MUNS or CS or whatever it may be. And we don't really understand often what that entails day to day. With Squadron Officer School and truly the focus on understanding your role in the broader Air Force environment, learning everyone's career fields, I came back to this job as an ADC, and when I had clients who walked in the door and I saw, for example, that they were part of CE, right? I think about my flightmate at SOS who was CE, who explained the day-to-day what, you know, electrical engineering would look like, for example, on base if you were in CE. And when you can understand or show that you understand the clients you're advising, that you understand their career field, you understand the challenges of their career field, you understand that maybe, for example, like in security forces, they work all sorts of different shifts. Maybe it's there's specialized exercises that folks in MUNS will go to. You build a lot more trust with the folks you're advising because you're showing that you understand and care about their specific background within the Air Force, and you're not just seeing them as another data point within your clientele. So for even any JAG, regardless of what level, but especially captains, SOS allowed me to have a much deeper understanding of the structure of the Air Force and connect with other officers and enlisted members about their career fields to be able to give them advice and for them to feel comfortable to trust the advice we give on a day-to-day basis.
Thank you. I also loved SOS, mainly because I got to learn so much about the Air Force at that time. And I think that makes you a better JAG, just to know whether it's a commander you're advising or a client, to know a little bit more about who they are, what their AFSC does. And SOS is a great experience to leverage your skills, but learn so much about the Air Force. So, Captain Ludmere, before we wrap up today, if you could give one piece of advice to a JAG who is preparing to head out for SOS, what would it be?
The biggest piece of advice I would give for any JAG going in there is you will get out of SOS what you put in for it. I remember the first day in the auditorium, Colonel Iyer had talked to us. That was the SOS commandant. And he kind of made a really interesting point. And he said something like, if you expect us to kind of spoon-feed you or give you the information to become a better officer and eventually an FGO, that's not going to happen here. You know, this isn't officer training school. This isn't day one where you're being yelled at to wake up at 4:30 a.m. You put in and you get out what you put in. And he really emphasized that attitude is going to shape your SOS experience. I had heard all sorts of different approaches and stories about how JAGs went into SOS. And I think this connects sort of to my main piece of advice. And I'm going to talk especially to the ADCs and VCs out there because a lot of the ones going SOS are. There are going to be many times where you feel tempted or conflicted to prioritize your work back at your job over SOS. I would encourage you to the maximum extent, don't. Right, I get it. We all have certain things that are time sensitive or deadlines coming up. Do not make SOS a just checklist item that you have to check off to become major. Put in the time to get to know your flight mates. Learn about their career fields, go to the social events and bond with them, form those relationships and connections. Because I promise you, for your career, it is going to be far more beneficial to have learned that knowledge and information. And one day, when you're a deputy in SJA, implement and execute using that knowledge than it would be to spend the extra 5 minutes maybe taking care of an email that wasn't actually that urgent back home. So going in, don't have the mindset of SOS is just a checklist item I got to check off, or I'm just doing this because my boss told me I have to. Really, really go in with an open mind and be willing to engage and connect with the folks and your flight from day one. And you would be surprised what information and results you'll get out of it.
Captain Ludmere, thank you so much for taking the time to share your experience with us today. Listeners, that's all we have. Have a great day. We are out.